Hey, this is Joe Ledbetter, and you're listening to Master of One Podcast. You can check out my work at joeledbetter.com.
And now the story of a pop culture podcast and the three hosts that do everything they can to keep it afloat. Part one this week, we talk about Arrested Development, Barker's Row, and Timed Edition. I'm Andrew, your Master of Art and Design.
I'm Patrick, your Master of Television and Film.
And I'm Luke, your Master of Toys and Games.
So take your Never Nude to the banana stand, because it's the Master of One.
Something quippy.
Kick every episode off by going around the table, which is where we talk about something new, fun, and noteworthy about our weeks. Luke, you're wearing a hat.
I'm wearing a hat.
That's fun and noteworthy.
Okay. I've had this hat for a long time. It's the Rubber Ducks.
It just seemed like Andrew was picking things that he decided were fun and noteworthy just on the spot.
That's fine. He's allowed to. We give him that license every week. Right?
Yeah, it's like a fishing license. It doesn't matter. Yeah, why don't you go ahead and...
I do, though.
But why?
Yeah, why?
But why?
I'm not going to answer. I genuinely don't know, but they do matter. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Luke.
All right. So I finished Cobra Kai, which is the series on YouTube Red that is a continuation of The Karate Kid. And man, it went so many places that I didn't think it would go, as far as like, when you're watching things, you know how you say like, oh, this will probably happen, or I can see this happening, or oh, this is what's going to happen, and then it doesn't. That's what happened, and
that's how I feel about my life. Like I think of all these things that I'm going to do, and then they never happen.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir, man. It is really good. It ended differently than I hoped, but it was really good, and there was a final like reveal at the end that you're like, oh, okay. It's I'm looking forward.
So there could be another season.
I'm hoping there is. I mean, the way things played out, there's a lot more like things
story to tell.
Yeah, there's a whole lot more story to tell. So we'll see. Hopefully, everybody is on board with it. I think it'll end up being, if the actors are still down doing it. Like, I think Billy Zabka will be good, but there's a couple people like what's his name that played LaRusso? Daniel LaRusso. What's his name?
Daniel-san.
Couldn't tell you.
Ralph Macchio.
What is Daniel-san?
Ralph Macchio. He is a producer on the show, and so is Billy Zabka, but he didn't go to the premiere. Like, there was a premiere in Hollywood for like, they showed like two episodes in a theater for like press and stuff, and a lot of people were there. He wasn't there, and he hasn't really been talking about it. So
that's weird.
I think maybe, I don't know. I was listening to another podcast, and they mentioned it, and they were saying that maybe he's seeing how it does before he kind of like gives his stamp of approval on it.
Endorses it?
I don't know. But
maybe he should have thought about that before he produced it.
Yeah, who knows? But like, I mean, if I was any of those actors and reliving something back from like my most well-known role, I think I'd probably just be in because it'd be fun. Unless it was a terrible experience, then maybe why'd you do it in the first place? But it's really good. So if you've watched it, I know I've been talking to our friend Stay Gray Ponyboy about it, Matt Dawson, and he loved it. Anybody else who's listened to it, just let me know in our Discord. Other than that, man, I've been playing God of War. Super good still.
Just figured it out.
Okay.
It took me a second. Ralph Macchio. I heard that. So I don't know these people's names.
Master of TV and Film.
I didn't know the name. And I was like, oh, that is familiar. Mm. Now that, but what is it from? What is it from? If you remember. If you remember all the way back to the first season of the MO1 podcast, or the first year. We don't do seasons. I talked about the documentary Nerdcore Rising with the band MC Front a lot.
Yeah.
And Ralph Macchio is a lyric in the song Braggadocio or whatever. That's all.
Wow.
That's how you know the name Ralph Macchio.
That's the only way I know it.
Okay.
Oh, my documentary,
God.
Okay.
Nerdcore Rising.
Okay.
Oh, my.
It's a great song. You, know you should listen to it.
Patrick, tell me about your week, man. I'm just going to leave it with that.
It's been scattered, man. A couple things.
Say.
So I have a few quick things to talk about. One, I got a pen and this guy. And when I first got it, my first thought
That's
is
Kool-Aid.
This packaging. This is the Q-Date by Jared Maruyama.
Oh.
And so he did the design and the pen, and then it was released by Squared Co. My first thought was, my word, this packaging is cheap. And then I realized, oh, wait, it's supposed to look like a Kool-Aid packet. It totally makes sense now. Which makes sense, because those things cost like 20 cents. So I got it. So you rip it off. It says makes one pen in the bottom corner. And then and on the back, of course, it's got all of the, you know, the
flavors.
But it's like the you know, 1 in 20, 1 in 40, that type of thing.
Yeah, it's the flavors.
Thank you. Just say flavors. And this is what I got right here. So lime. I'm going to be honest. I only ever drink red Kool-Aid. So
why?
Who would want lime?
Why only red?
Because red is the superior color and flavor anytime red is an option.
Huh. Oh, no. Sometimes pink. Strawberry is far superior to cherry.
I mean,
No. In fact, the only time I wouldn't have red is if I found out it was strawberry instead of cherry.
Oh, get your butt out of this seat, because it's cherry time for someone else who knows how to sit better.
100% the best. So
you know that old saying.
The old adage, get your butt out of that seat,
grew up
because
that
it's time for
time.
Somebody else to sit down and do it better.
Yeah, there you go. Second thing, real quick, I just wrapped up this past week, wrapped up the end of Last Man on Earth, the end of season 4. Huge cliffhanger for those that haven't seen it. Here's a spoiler. Am I cool to just say a spoiler?
Yeah, I don't care. I don't watch it.
Go for it.
3, 2, 1. The show ends, like the episode ends right when they're suddenly surrounded by like 150 people and they don't know who they are. It's crazy.
That's
all right,
crazy.
You can put it back on, Andrew. Okay.
So for our YouTube audience, they get a real treat just there.
Yeah.
That's like this huge cliffhanger. And then the show got canceled today. Like they announced it like an hour ago. So that's it. Never know how it resolves.
That sucks.
Not super happy about that.
That sucks real bad.
We also
You had to have known. Like, it got an extra season. I think it got a pity season, honestly. The fact that it even had a season 4.
So the funny thing is, the first part of this season, it was actually on a, like, it was a what did they say? The point is, this season was actually started out stronger than all of last season. So this season got a bump, but it didn't go anywhere.
You
Brooklyn Nine-Nine also got canceled.
It's because everybody was, no way!
What?
Yeah. Brooklyn Nine-Nine got canceled and The Mick got canceled.
Well, that's
so
stupid.
Who cares about The Mick?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a gem. It's a
that
treasure.
That is an amazing show.
It's one of the only shows that makes me actually laugh.
Huh?
It's one of the only shows that makes me actually laugh.
Well, you can return to your sad life now, Luke, because it's gone. Only hope that we have is if Hulu or Netflix picks up the show and releases another season. So I wouldn't count it out yet. Because any other network, streaming service, whatever, could decide to purchase another season. But as far as its run with Fox, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, The Mick, Last Man on Earth, they are done. They
Just
are
so
gone.
We're clear, though, none of us are upset about The Mick being canceled, right?
Have y'all seen any of it?
I watched two episodes.
I've seen two episodes. I would rather watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia if I'm going to watch D in her antics. So anyway, that's all. I want to let you know that. And then the last thing, I want to pose a question real quick. This question has popped up a couple times in our Discord, and
you
I just want
really
to real quick
6'7".
Take a shot at answering it. So this question is from Skylar, and the gist of it is, how do you, as a creative, remain productive while also allowing moments to be creative? So the idea is, you know, what if you hit like a 3-day stretch where you don't feel inspired and in turn you like don't accomplish anything and you just sit there and you feel like you wasted 3 days. Whereas at another point you may have a week or whatever where you just feel like like everything is firing, you know, on all cylinders and you're just being ultra productive. So how do you try to like not necessarily normalize that because you don't want to diminish when things are going well, but how do you try to prevent those slumps where you feel like you don't feel the energy, you don't feel inspired, you don't necessarily feel like creating, but you want to be productive? So initially when he phrased the question, he kind of asked, should I just put in an extra so many hours every day and, you know, and just dig in deeper? Yeah. Do any of y'all, either of y'all want to take a shot at answering this? I have an answer I want to provide. I was too lazy to type it in Discord, so I'm using this as the platform. But do either of y'all want to wager an answer?
I mean, there's times that I feel the same way. And I mean, if you really want to be doing what you're doing, I think you just need to push through it and just make stuff. I mean, whatever you're making, whether it's toys, whether it's illustrations or whatever, make something crappy. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be prolific. I think just start. I mean, I forget who we were talking to is talking about just start doing stuff and then iterate and then or inspiration will come out of that work. You know, it might not be like the most exciting thing, but it might give you opportunity to, you know, discover something else that sure. jumps off from there.
Well, last week, Dave talked about that with a piece of his conversation.
Yeah.
So, Andrew, do you have anything you want to add to that?
No.
Great. So here's the piece that I would throw out there. Dave Pryor actually did have a really good point. And this is last week's episode. The thing he said is, if you hit a moment where you don't feel that motivation or inspiration on the thing you're working on, maybe instead of sitting there and doing nothing and then going home sad that you got nothing done for 6 hours or 8 hours, work on something you do feel compelled to work on. And it might not even be something that's actually for your job, or it might be like another project that doesn't technically have priority. But his idea was, at least you're accomplishing something as opposed to just sitting, feeling frustrated, doing nothing. Now,
sure.
I will throw something else out, which is that if you are in kind of this like deep mode of execution, you're probably not going to have a light bulb moment necessarily. I mean, it's kind of hard for your brain to be open enough to allow it to wander to like a new idea if you're really deeply focused on a task list that you already have. I mean, your mind is going to stay on those already defined tasks. And so what I would say is that it's okay to have times where you don't feel like you're producing something. So in those times, step away from it. And that's fine. I mean, some of the most productive people groups in the world actually only work, it's something like they only work 42 minutes of every hour and the other 18. And it's like super exact, which is dumb to me, but I'm just trying to be factual right now. But 18 minutes of every hour, it goes to break. And it just goes to them like walking around or just something that is not work. And it's in that time that they're able to recharge, they're able to have ideas, they're able to do whatever, and then really hammer down that next 40-minute block. So don't feel like you have to be, you know, like pushing pixels every single minute. It is fine to just step up and walk away from something for 30 minutes and come back. The other thing I would say is kind of work when your body wants to. That, I mean, your body has cycles. There's times of the moment where there's times of the day where you don't have energy. You're low on energy, you're low on motivation, whatever. That's natural. There's times of the day where it really ramps up. I think of someone like Matt Kindral, who's in our community, where like 10 o'clock every night, suddenly he pops on Discord and is like, hey, how is everybody? You know, like for him, that's an up moment. And so it's good for him to work in that up moment instead of trying to wedge that between, you know, 8 to 5. So that's fine. If you find that you're really motivated, like if you can really get stuff done from 10 to 12 every morning, great. Don't check emails during that time. Don't like turn off your phone. I'm sorry. Do turn off your phone. Don't check text messages, whatever. Like clear everything away so you can really use that time where you have that energy. And then if you know that you're going to have a dead spot from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, great. Go do something else. I mean, remove yourself from work if you can, and then just pick back up when you do have that next high moment, even if it's later in the day and it's outside of the typical hours of work. So if your work environment will allow you that opportunity, I would personally recommend that. Just try to let your work sync up with kind of your body's energy cycle. But again, don't be, everybody has moments where they feel like they're not getting stuff done or they're not whatever. That's okay. Either take a break from it, or what Luke said, I think is really spot on. It's fine if it doesn't feel perfect. Go ahead and finish it. Finish it, take a step back from it, take a look at it, and then maybe you will want to do something else, or maybe it's fine, and it's okay if you don't knock it out of the park every single time. There will be more projects, and the reality is we're probably each individually more critical than most of the people looking at our work. So it's fine if you have to phone it in on a couple of projects. No one's going to like come take away your license to be a designer. So cool. Patrick says phone it in. That's what I want you to take away from that. So with all that said, real quick before I throw it to you, Andrew, I just want to make a note that I am moving. I am leaving Chattanooga.
Wait. What? I want to point out that I laughed in the middle of your statement because I heard the phrase beef actual.
Oh, beef actual.
I thought you were laughing just, because he said, I'm trying to be factual, but it's like something like this.
No. I was laughing because I heard the phrase beef actual.
All right, go ahead.
Beef Please actual. Continue.
Patrick, what were you saying?
Yeah, someone make that shirt. So I'm leaving. I almost said we're leaving. I'm leaving. Bye. So Chattanooga, Gig City, more like Gone City, because not going to be here anymore. Literally, so I will be sitting in this chair. Well, I'm keeping the chair. So this could have been misleading. These walls, you'll see these for the next 3 weeks, something like that. And then they're going to be different walls, and they're going to be much hotter walls because I'm going to be in San Antonio. That's right. Andrew and I will be. Yeah, we'll be
shooting
like,
things.
Open butt carry. Butt. It's open carry here, so you can shoot anything at any time.
Great.
Welcome to Texas.
Yeah. So I mean, honestly, Andrew and I will likely be living in the same neighborhood. It's pretty crazy. So it is either going to make the show that much better, or it is going to quickly lead to its demise. Very excited. So yeah, San Antonio, here we come. Andrew.
Changes are coming.
Finish it up.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Sorry. I have a couple of things. It just seems like a weird transition. Like,
I mean, I think you are doing great at making it a weird transition.
Shut up. Okay. I just think it's funny that you talked about a pin you got.
Yeah, it's this crystal is yeah, exactly. Well, yeah.
I just thought that was funny. You talked about a pin you got. You talked about a TV show getting canceled, and then you finished that off by, oh, by the way, huge life change happening in 3 weeks. It seems like a funny
honestly,
transition.
Honestly, those shows getting canceled is hitting me a lot harder than moving to Texas.
Okay, so I got a couple of things real quick. So we did that Quickie Mickey challenge. I don't know if we talked about it at length, but a few weeks ago, Jared Maruyama posted his very first post with Mickey Mouse. He woke up and he said, I just wanted to do a quick Mickey, which looks better than 999 out of 1,000 other people's best Mickey if they took forever. But his quick Mickey, right? And he said, I'm challenging... Andrew Sale and like two or three other people to show me their Quickie Mickey. Let's see if we can, let's see what you guys have. I'm like, okay, this is fun. This is cool. So I did one and I posted it. It got a lot of traction right away. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to do another one. Did another one. And then I did another one. So I ended up doing a like classic Mickey. Then I did Steamboat Willie Mickey. And then I finished it off with Sorcerer's Apprentice Mickey, kind of all three gamuts. And now it is like, it's blown up. There's well over 1,000 of these posts. So like you're supposed to do one and then tag a couple of other people. And then they're supposed to do one and then tag a couple of other people. It's this thing has blown up and I'm seeing new ones every couple of hours pop up on Instagram. And so what's been cool in that whole process has been to see this movement kind of happen, but also getting to know new and cool artists that I hadn't been aware of before. And so I saw this one post, and it was like it was Mickey Mouse looking like the Monopoly man running with some cash, right? In a
yeah.
in like a, an old timey bank money sack.
It kind of reminds me of the scene out of the what's the Monopoly card stealing from the bank?
Do,
what is that?
It's do not or it's get out of jail free card.
Oh, is that one?
Yeah, I believe that's what it is. Where he's running, away.
Yeah, that's it.
So, loved it, and I messaged the guy on it and said, hey, I love this. I would totally buy this. And he's like, well, I can't sell it, but I can send you one. I was like, okay. So his name, I actually don't even, he goes by the moniker Brick Illustration, but I sent him my address, and out of nowhere, a couple days ago, he sent me a print of it, a little hand-signed print. I'm going to try to put it up so that the camera can see it. The color's not really showing through right now, but it's got like this really cool, like vintage blue color. But dude, it's a super rad,
so good.
Little print, and he sent these stickers.
How long did he say that he worked on that?
I love this one right here. This one's great.
Because it's going to be like a depressingly short amount of time.
Says maker's going to make. He didn't say how long he spent on it, but all of these, the goal was to not spend very long on them, right? So. Yeah. They're intended to be pretty quick. So anyway, I wanted to show that. It's super cool. I continue to be amazed by the generosity of this community and the talent of this community. I'm not 100% sure. I think we have invited Brick to be on the show. He does a lot of really cool, like vintage looking design stuff. I think we invited him. This is the second week in a row that I can't remember whether or not we have someone coming on the show. I know we're booked out for like the next month and a half, but I'm not 100% sure who all of those people are. I got that and it was just super cool. I wanted to show it. Go check out his stuff. It's Brick. It's at Brick Illustration is his online handle. Super cool. Really rad.
To be clear, really we don't just like, generous. It's not that we don't care who's coming on the show.
No.
It's that we send invites to all these people that we love, and we love lots of people.
Right.
And
I wasn't trying to be I was not trying to be flippant about our guests. I just can't remember who all has. I know we've put the invite out to some people, and I don't know if they have currently scheduled or not. That's where the trouble
kind of happens.
And if
you're listening and you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm a good artist. They've never sent me an invite. You'll get one. It's coming.
Yeah. Give it a minute.
It might not be
or
coming.
Not, yeah.
But if Luke vetoes it, everybody has one. So.
If you are what you would consider to be a good artist,
yes,
and you have not gotten an invite, that's Luke. Because Luke has vetoed it.
I stand by that. That's fine.
One other thing, I got a couple of a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, I got one of the new Mighty Mugs. The head changing Mighty Mugs and I'm on the fence about them. I like the art of them. Derek Loffman did all the art for them. So I think the art is incredible for them. But I'm not necessarily in love with the platform, what they've done. There are a couple of characters that I think it works really well with. And so for those, I tend to like them. I saw for the first time this weekend and I picked it up, Star-Lord. Let me see if I can get it to show. The Star-Lord, it makes absolute sense. It doesn't make his head look weird. It doesn't do any of that. So I'm showing you the packaging. I already took the tape off just a minute ago, so you didn't have to watch me do that. But the packaging is, like, legit. This is hard plastic. The packaging is legit. This slides off. Then this pops off with a piece of tape. I'm just going to rip it.
Easy peasy.
So, that comes off, and then you've got this guy who's attached to the base, not for display purposes, but for packaging purposes. And then you just kind of take a coin and turn the bottom of that to get him off of the base. But this actually makes sense. So then you press on his head. He's got three different facial features. Let me see if I can get this to... So like angry Star-Lord, wide-eyed Star-Lord, and then... Huh? Star-Lord.
But then, now his goggles are embedded into his eye sockets.
Yeah. So they're all that way, right? So anyone that has like that, how much can you do if you can't see their mouth? How, what are you going to do? Just have it be the same three things as you tap through?
That's exactly what I would do.
But I think this works really well because as the character looks, his head does inset inside of his helmet, as opposed to some of these other ones like Groot. Groot looks weird. Groot looks like he's wearing a helmet. Any character who doesn't typically wear a helmet,
but his goggles don't go into his helmet. His goggles are part of his helmet.
I understand that, but I'm saying
you realize
as far as
that his eyebrows are overlapping over his goggles, right?
I know. I hate it. Trust me, I hate it.
See, I love it. And this one makes the most sense out of most of the ones that I've seen.
No, the Kylo Ren's better.
How do you figure?
Isn't the Kylo Ren just the hair? Or is that Luke is just the hair?
The Juggernaut would be great. As a Mighty Mug.
I don't know. I remember not getting the, no, because his ears stick out. Anybody who's not wearing a helmet, I think it looks a little weird. So anyway, that's my Star-Lord Mighty Mug. I'm not going to get all of the Mighty Mugs. And like Rocket, the Rocket Mighty Mug looks weird because he looks like a rabbit. He's got like rabbit buck teeth and not like raccoon teeth. So
yeah, I would suggest just don't get any more because they're garbage.
I will only get them if I like them, and I like this one. So on your face. Or in your face? With your face. As well, your face. But that's it for our Around the Table. I think up next, we're going to talk about some Master Categories. The Master Category section each week is when we get to talk about the tokens we drew the week before, which give us our categories. We pick our topics based on those categories. Patrick, you got art and design. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, speaking of that, I do have art and design, and got a very cool thing this week. Excited to talk about. This is something that I've been working towards for, this entire year so far. I think we started this project end of last year, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
This is something we've been working towards and very excited that it is finally rolling out. So now, today, you can head to timededition.com and time to get. You're just showing off the Mighty Mug.
Terribleness of that.
I wasn't trying to distract you. I was just. I'm
fully distracted because I'm looking at Star Lord right now. embedded goggles, radioactive face Star Lord. So, anyway, so today you can go to timededition.com and see all the awesome content there. So, what it is it's a group of artists that were all creating content that you could go to their individual sites and find, but have said, now we're going to put them all on one central platform so it's easier to get to the content, but not just our content, but everybody's, because it's all in like a central location. It's also an opportunity to find other artists you may not be aware of yet or that haven't checked out their stuff. So we're really happy to be a part of that. Perspective Collective, which is a great podcast. We've talked to Scotty on here before. Mm-hmm. He's a part of it. Happy Faces on Everything, Hayden Obey. I mean, talk about awesome educational content.
Yeah.
When it comes to 10 minute and 15 minute, just deep dives into how to's, like he's the
Photoshop
man.
Photoshop and Illustrator. Like, yeah.
Absolutely. He's the man.
So Happy Faces on Everything. We also have, Jetpacks and Roller Skates. And the thing is about his, which is really funny, because we were recording this a week in advance, and so I'm talking about things that aren't fully done yet. Jetpack says something really, really cool. This is a unique type of content specific to this platform that he isn't doing anywhere else, and so it's still kind of under wraps. But just know he's there, and it's something to go check out. And then also,
I can tell you as a third party who I've not been involved in the planning on his, but I've heard a little bit about what he's doing. It's going to be fun.
Yes.
Absolutely. And then there's also another Scott. We have a Scott and a Scotty. That's great. He's on the Georgia Film Board or something like that, and he's doing film reviews. Just all these really talented people that are again creating content. It's all
and then
one.
Also we're there.
And also we're there. Yeah. So we do a podcast every week, and that podcast is going to be there. But it's also an opportunity for us to do some other things, like break out some more like of the playthroughs and reviews and things like that. So really, really cool thing. We're pumped to be a part of it. The other thing is, as a developer, this is something that I got to build. This is something that I've kind of taken on.
Got to flex your muscles a little bit.
I had to work into my free time, and it's meant many late nights, like getting it done.
Yeah.
But I'm very, very proud because there's a point where, at least the way my career progression has gone, was that I was doing a lot of freelance stuff, and it wasn't that good. It was very early in my career until I got a job, and then I stopped kind of doing freelance because I've been working for other people. And so this is one of the first projects that I've been able to kind of make it through in what I consider my like adult career, that I've been able to put out in the world. I'm very proud that that's something that I got to be a part of in realizing. So
did I miss you saying the name of it?
I said it. You missed it. Time Edition.
Okay.
Yeah. TimeEdition.com. So anyway, the point is, it's brand new. This is like a soft launch. So we're announcing it to you guys, to the people listening right now, but it's not going out to the world yet. It's just going out to you guys. So go check it out. Check out the content, sign up to the mailing list, all that kind of stuff. We're still rolling new things out. We still have new contributors joining. If this is something you want to contribute to, if you're already creating content and you want to get your content out there or be a part of the platform, awesome. Send us an email. There's a link in the footer that says contribute. Click on that link. Send us an email. Send us a link to the stuff that you do. Tell us about it. And be a part of it. So the goal is just, again, it's
So if I were to, I'm going to take a stab at describing this on a different level or using different
sure.
words.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're listening to this show and you are part of a community, a design community or like a pop culture arts design community type thing where you're looking at the latest movies and you're watching them, or you are a graphic designer and you're always looking to learn new tips, tricks, those kinds of things. If you're into interviews with some of your favorite artists or designers or things like that, or you like listening to our show, you're into podcasts and you want to hear more podcasts that are similar or at least have that same kind of voice that we have, this is a good spot to go because it is an aggregation of all of those things. And it's going to be super fun to be kind of tagged in there right along with some of these other content creators because they're super, super talented. And it's nice to only have it kind of be like a one-stop shop. So if you are in our Discord family, it's like that, but for content. Right? Yeah. I mean, like that's a way that you would say that. It's kind of it's curated aggregation, and I think it's going to be super, super cool. So check
and
it out.
The other thing, too, is that it gives us an opportunity. You know, we do the show, we do the podcast, and like the format stays the same, right? We have the same format every week and the same type of material every week. It's audio, it's video, it's the same process. And I think one of the exciting things for us, too, is that this gives us the ability to branch out and try some new things, whether it's articles or, again, like more along the lines of playtests, reviews, things of that nature. So and that's exciting. So so look for some different types of content. If you support us on Patreon, thank you. This is one of the things. Patreon is a big reason that we're able to invest the time into being a part of something like this. If you don't support on Patreon, this is a great time to start because, again, we have more of this type of content or different type of content that we've done up to this point that this gives us a platform to actually start kind of putting out in the world. Yep. And again, if you're already creating content, if you're already writing articles or podcasting or creating videos or whatever, and this is something you want to be a part of, hit us up. And but anyway, very, very cool thing. So again, timeedition.com. Go check it out. Let us know what you think, especially because this is like early access, people, and if something's bad, you need to tell us so we can fix it. So let us know what you think. And that's it for me.
Okay.
Andrew.
Yeah.
Why don't you go?
Okay, so I got TV and film, and I could not be more thrilled this week because if you've followed the show for any amount of time, you know that I'm a huge Arrested Development fan. And last week, we got the re-release of season 4 on Netflix, but it's called, it's a remix, and it's called Arrested Development Fateful Consequences is what it's called. And so what they did, if you remember, 3 years ago? I think it was 2015.
Has it been that long already?
Yeah, it's been a bit. It happened when we were still in Ohio. So when it released, they released season 4, and it was Netflix picking up the show again. And so the way that they did it was a totally different vibe, because all of the actors who were in the original show, they brought all of the original actors back. But from the time that they canceled the show on Fox to the time that they brought it back on Netflix, every single one of those actors became successful. And so their schedules were so all over the place, they couldn't film a traditional TV schedule. So it felt very choppy, and each episode kind of focused on one of the characters. The mainstay of the show being Michael Bluth, played by Jason Bateman, who worked his way kind of all the way through the whole season. But every other character had like one or two episode arcs that were all devoted to them. And the episodes found themselves being about twice as long as the original episodes so that they could tell a cohesive story. It was a 15-episode season originally, and there was a lot of backlash. I think generally speaking, people were excited to have Arrested Development back, but a lot of people took issue with how they did it, because it didn't feel, even though it was Ron Howard who was doing the narrating, even though it was all the same actors and all the same characters, it didn't have the same playful vibe, because they weren't able to play off of each other as easily. Right. So, that being said, in light of season 5 that they just announced coming out in 2 weeks, it will be out in 2 weeks. They decided to go back and
yeah, you're right too. Cause when this comes out, you're better than
I am. Yeah. Mike Hurwitz, who is the showrunner and the creator of Arrested Development, decided to go back and remix everything. So what he did was take those 15 episodes that were longer in length and decided to recut every episode from the beginning all the way through to the end. It is now a 22-episode season, every episode being the typical 21 to 22-minute length. All in all, they cut 8 minutes off of the entire story from the original season 4, but they intermixed all of the storytelling so that it played the way Arrested Development typically plays. Now, I have had a chance to go back and watch the entire thing, so I've seen the whole season 4 now. I absolutely loved it. I thought it made so much sense, the way that they wove everything in and out. And I think mostly because of this, it felt like it had the beat and the timing of Arrested Development. The other one felt like it kind of slogged along a little bit. Like, there were some episodes that felt very long, especially the Job arc, which was very strange initially, and the George Sr. arc, which was also weird. And then even Tobias and Lindsay's arc originally. So what they went and did is take all the content that was already shot, and they put it all together to tell the same story, but did it in a much more fast-paced, deliverable, like what you would expect kind of way. And for me, it absolutely won the day. Now, this also is getting some backlash because some of the actors have been...
I didn't know if you were going to talk about this, so I was sitting here waiting to talk about this.
So it, like, I think the fans are enjoying the new deal, but the problem is the actors were paid for a 15-episode season, especially some of the actors who are in more of the episodes have been mixed in. Right, they get paid per episode. There's 7 more episodes now, and even though they didn't go back and do any additional work necessarily, they are asking for more money now because of the longer episode. And I don't know. I'm sure they'll figure it out, but I hope it doesn't. I hope it doesn't leave such a bad taste in their mouth that they can't figure it out, and that we will see a parting of ways from some of these actors, because the story that they're telling is just so good. It's smart. It's very witty. It's very well timed. The actors have, at this point in their career, really honed how to play their character, and I think it would be a shame for this to kind of trip anybody up. I mean, I understand where both sides are coming from, right? There's no new content. They just remixed it, and all the work happened on the back end. But the actors are now, I mean, they signed a contract for a certain number of episodes. There's now 7 more episodes based on what their original contract said. They may, you know, maybe they need to get more money.
Yeah,
so,
it's tough because certainly you wouldn't want a studio setting out to abuse that. You wouldn't want a studio setting out paying people for 4 episodes and then after they're paid, recutting it to 20 episodes. You know, this is 4 3-hour episodes, you know, so I can see how you could set a precedent where that could be abused. Absolutely. So intention almost seems like part of it. And certainly they do stand to profit off of the recut. I mean, they're posturing it by moving to the 22-minute episodes. They're posturing it to be picked up by a network because it's now the length that with commercials are 30 minutes. It fits the other seasons. Now they're going to have a 5-season run. And so they're setting it up for future syndication. And so they're setting it up to make more money off of it. So I try to think about it in terms of less dollars, because when someone's getting paid $100,000 an episode, it's easy to feel like they're being greedy. But so I'm trying to like reduce that to like a level that I would get paid. So if I'm thinking in terms of like $10 an episode, and if you just jip me on $70, I'd probably be really annoyed and probably demand that money, especially if you were going to make back more than that. I think I'm siding with the actors. However, I don't know that we will know what the legal precedent is, because my guess is this will get settled behind closed doors just to stop any bad press.
I don't want it to proceed.
So as far as like what is right and what is wrong, I don't think we're going to get to actually hear that be settled. My guess is that, you know, someone is going to step up to the plate and resolve it with the actors, because they don't need this press right before season 5. And they certainly wouldn't want to, if season 5 is a success, they certainly wouldn't want to shoot themselves in the foot for a future season. So
can I ask, why didn't they just cut it that way to begin with?
Well, because Netflix doesn't run commercials, so they were cutting them to 30-minute episodes.
Some episodes ran as long as 38 or 39 minutes.
Yeah, so I guess, so it does seem now like they are reposturing to say they want it to be picked up for syndication.
I don't think that's it necessarily. I think they're repackaging it so that it fits the rest of what the show was originally.
No, I get that, but why didn't they do that to begin with? I guess is the question, because it looks like they just, if they were really paying these actors for 15 episodes, that was a way to save money, and then now, you know, they got
seven
extra episodes.
I think it's for what they, and this is all speculation because I don't know, but I think the reason that they went the other direction is because the intricacy of the story, when you look at the whole story, if you go back and watch it, how they wove everything together is, I mean, the editors did an amazing job. Now, Ron Howard did come back and re-record every bit of narration to make this actually work and make sense. So I'm sure there were some pickup scenes and things that actors were paid for in, you know, for new content. But I think they were trying this for the new format. And because the actors weren't able to be there for all these other things, it was easier to tell complete stories over a longer form episode than it was to do what they ended up doing. This took a ton of work to remix and remaster all of this.
Sure.
They probably didn't think about it all on the front end. That's my assumption.
My thing would be that whether intentions were good or bad, whether it's innocent or not, the actors still need to press the issue, because you don't want to set the precedent that a studio could abuse a group of people. And so you just kind of, in the same way that companies like Disney and stuff like that need to be pretty ruthless with their copyright, because if they stop enforcing it, then they're setting a precedent where they can't enforce it. I think the actors still need to pursue getting compensation to prevent a studio from being malicious in the future.
Yeah. So anyway, I've seen the whole season. I love it. Go if you're an Arrested Development fan, go back and watch it. I think it redeems itself in a lot of ways. I've also watched season four. You can't watch season four the old way now. It's not there anymore. So the new season four it's replaced the old one. So if you're new to Arrested Development, you won't see any difference. But it will feel like Arrested. They will all feel cohesive, which is an issue that we had before. There wasn't the cohesion. Season five trailer debuted just a couple days ago, about a week after they dropped season four Remix, and it is it proves to be very, very funny. It's
so
it picks right up
Lindsay
where season
looks
four
like
takes
herself.
Off. Yeah, it picks up where season four leaves off, which is great because season four picked up 6 years later, and I think that was a trouble too initially, just trying to bridge that gap. So this season from season four, I think is going to make a big difference, and they're doing a really cool like kind of guerrilla campaign around it too. They're doing a great marketing campaign. This season is kind of focused on Lindsay running for office. And so they have a campaign trail where the stair cars are going around the country and they're stopping in just a handful of cities around the country. And one of those cities is Austin. And so this weekend I'm going to go get my picture taken with the stair cars.
In like a couple of days.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Very, very soon.
Like you're going in like 2 days. Are you going to do the Never Nude meetup as well?
I won't. I won't be doing the Never Nude meetup, but I'm thrilled. I love that Arrested Development is back. And
someone did point out it's very appropriate that this weekend is Mother's Day with Arrested Development.
I'm going to be a mother
boy. Good time
this
to do. They should have done a mother boy meetup. That's what they should have done.
A mother boy dance. Oh my gosh.
That's what they should have done for Mother's Day.
That would have been incredible.
Anyway,
and
I'm
Luke, one of these days you'll watch
go.
This show, and you'll know what we're talking about.
Listen, here's the thing about this show. I'll give it another chance, but I've tried to watch it twice, and I don't love it.
And each time, a pet animal died. It's like an omen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just cut it out.
A pet animal, well, as opposed to all those pet humans that you have. I love every second of it. So, that's me. Luke, are you the final it?
I'm the final it. Yes.
Good. Good.
Okay. Well, that's a halfway decent segue. Speaking of it and clowns, I'm talking about a game, and this game was a Kickstarter. It's called Barker's Row, and the idea is that you play a carny, and you're trying to get rubes or marks or pawns or people to go into your bandstand and see your attractions, and whoever fills up their bandstand first wins. And so you do that it's a card game. So the game is essentially a card game where you you have a hand of attractions, and you have to match the suit of cards that come in the Barker's Row, which is the Barker is like the person that, you know, kind of grabs people from the midway and says, hey, come
ladies
see the
gentlemen.
Yeah, come see the odd, the creepy, the terrifying, the monstrous, you know, mammoth or invisible
Patrick.
Man or yeah, Patrick.
Yeah, the disgustingly gigantic and hairy in odd places.
So you are just trying to fill up your grandstand. And I didn't know about this game when it was on Kickstarter. I missed it, but I saw some Instagram posts from different board game people that I follow, and the design of this game is incredible. It's really fun. It's different. The artwork is super good, and so I said, I have to have this. Where do I find it? It's released. You can buy just the retail copy, but on the Kickstarter release, there were a couple extra things that were like really cool. So one of the things were, you have a card deck here that has, these different suits of cards for like the monstrosities, the horrors, the oddities, there's wild cards.
Do you have those in sleeves?
Well, here's the thing that came with it. It came with sleeves. The Kickstarter version came with sleeves. So the back of the cards have the type of card they are, a wild card. These sleeves were cut so that you can still see it. And they're protected. They're super good.
You're missing really this if you're not watching the video, everybody.
And then, I mean, just look at the art style. It's like, it's really incredible. It looks really, I'm showing the regular camera and then you guys can see it.
Yeah, the art style is great. It's got super kind of a kooky, it kind of looks like Lumberjanes.
Have it's you a little bit Lumberjanes. Yeah, definitely. I thought of that when I saw it. So the artist is Andrea, and I'm sorry if I butcher this name, Andrea Olgiati. She's done a couple other board games, New Salem and Winter Tales. She's done the artwork for those. This game was put out by Overworld Games. They've done like a couple games that I've never heard of. And then they did Good Cop, Bad Cop. That was a game I've heard of. Booze Barons, Exposed, a couple other games that I hadn't really heard of. And it was designed by Stephen Aramini, and he's done Circle the Wagons, Groves, Tricky Tides, Yardmaster. These are games that are like more of those fringe games that you've maybe heard of but not really ever played because they haven't been super popular. But this game, so far as I'm reading through the rules and looking at the stuff, is a very simple game. You calculate your points with this like strongman stand, and you have these different like tokens that can move up and down based on like what your points are. And then you have your attractions, which is another thing that came with the Kickstarter, is the sleeves for the attractions. So it's just clear on the front, and then it says attractions.
Nice.
And these attractions, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. There's Montezuma's Crown, Pharaoh's Tomb, there's Creeper the Clown, the Soothsayer, the Invisible Man, Twin Blade Twins, the Sword Swallower, the Werewalrus, there's a Minotaur, a Living Dinosaur. And so there's like all these different types of attractions. And then you fill your meeples on a little grandstand that's cardboard. You put it together, super easy to put together, but it adds dimension. I think that's the thing that was really cool was seeing pictures of this online, was it's a board game, but there's a lot of dimension to it. It's, you know, there's tall things, and then you have all the meeples, and these meeples, I don't know if they're screen printed or not. It's going to be really hard to see on this camera just because of focus issues, and they're super small. But it comes with 13 unique meeple.
Maybe you could flash a picture of it right here on the edit.
Yeah, yeah, I'll put a picture in.
One frame.
But you can. It has 13 unique meeples.
Just I heard one. Patrick say milk cream.
Milk cream.
I was telling McKenzie to pick some up from the store. I just remember.
Oh, gross.
Oh, I see.
But they're really fun. There's all these different fun little designs, and I'll try and put a picture of all of them so you can see there's all kinds of different rubes.
And I believe the designs were stretch goals, right? Yeah. Originally they were just meeples.
So, yeah, they were. Well, no, they had goal. I think they had like 8, but then as they hit stretch goals, they just added more different people. But the gameplay is awesome. The other thing it came with is for the midway. It came with this like mat, this plastic mat where you can put.
I love play mats.
Put all the cards.
None of my with games the different have categories. And I
just
really
gotta buy better
mats.
Games.
Well, I mean, it would be nice to have one for like Clank. That'd be a great one to have.
I agree.
For.
That would be a good one with a play mat. I'm sure you could probably find one or make I'm one. Sure just design good. One and have it printed. They're not that much.
Yeah.
It seems like work.
It's just it's like printing a custom mouse pad.
Don't worry, Patrick. I'd be the one designing it.
Andrew, can you just design that?
I'll do that, Luke.
All right, cool. But yeah, I mean, Barker's Row, it's available now. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it on Cool Stuff Inc. You can find it on eBay. Your local game store for sure probably has it. It's really good, and the artwork is great. It's a really fun concept, and there's a lot of really cool attractions, and the style is just super good. So that's it, man. The other thing I want to mention is today, if you're listening on release day, we have the the Kickstarter just launched from Super Plastic. And so Super Plastic is the collab between Paul Budnitz, who started Kid Robot, and Huck G, who kind of maybe put Kid Robot on the map, so to speak. They've joined up and they started Super Plastic, their first figure, Janky. They've gotten something like 14 to 15 artists to do a series. The first series is it's the Janky, and it's got 20 limited edition toys, 16 artists, 16 famous artists, people like that we've seen, like Joe Ledbetter.
His looks great.
Yeah, I mean, there's Junko Mizuno. I mean, all kinds of people. Man, there's a lot of really like up and comers
as
too.
Huck G and Paul Budnitz.
Yeah, Huck did one. Yeah. Jake Parker. All kinds of cool stuff. So that's live right now. You can get, we won't go into like the list of everything right now because subject to change as of our recording. But there's a lot of really cool stuff going on.
We'll cover it. When it goes live, we'll go through, we'll do maybe a more extensive.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah. Because it'll be live for a month.
Yeah, but it's on Kickstarter. Yep. So go ahead and jump in and back it. Once you'll see on Kickstarter that they're doing achievements. It's not something I've seen on a campaign before. And once they actually fulfill their achievements, I think everybody is getting a toy for like a penny, which is pretty crazy.
I've seen some board games do that.
Yeah, there's challenges. Challenges and achievements.
I am not. Remember, last week we listed off how many Kickstarters we're currently backing.
Sure.
Each of you were at either seven or nine. I'm right now at zero.
That's fine.
So for me, it's like a brand new concept. I'm confident they're the first to do it.
The coolest thing, the other cool thing with this is if you refer people to the Kickstarter, you get free toys based on referrals. So you can get a referral link. You can post it to your social. So just go to the Kickstarter, pledge for the campaign.
No. Go to mof1podcast.com. Go to this episode link. We have a link to the Kickstarter in the show notes.
Whatever.
Or
you do what you want. Patrick wants you to do that. I want you to do what you want to do. So that's it. Toys and Games is done. And let's move on.
Well, that's it for our episode. That's all. You can find us on mf1podcast.com, like Patrick just said, or you can find us wherever you want to find us. That's what Luke just said. You can find us on social media. Just search
mf1podcast.com. We might be there. Who knows? Whatever you feel like.
You can find us all over the internet at mf1podcast. You can support the show on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/mf1podcast to throw a couple dollars in each month. That helps us out so much. It helps us continue to build and do new things, much like Timed Edition, like Patrick alluded to earlier. Hit up Timed Edition. It is live now. See all sorts of incredible artists contributing content each week to this new platform. And again, if you're a regular content creator, submit it and maybe you'll be featured on there as well. We would love to have more people on there with us. And what else am I thinking about? Shops. Go to shop.mf1podcast.com. You can get cool swag for the podcast.
Yep.
Support the show and look cool while you're doing it. And man, I just feel like there's so many things. Rate, review, subscribe, like, share, follow, all the different things on all the different platforms. Rating and reviewing the show on iTunes is huge, more than you can probably even understand. It doesn't cost any money, takes very little time, but it helps us out so much. So if you've yet to do that and you're a regular listener to the show, head over and do that. We will read the review when it comes in. We'll read it online. If you're a new patron, we will read out your name on the show. So we will celebrate you when you celebrate us. It's a beautiful symbiotic relationship when we do it that way. But otherwise, we're going to get out of this episode. I'm Andrew.
I'm Patrick.
I'm Luke.
Peace out.
Bye.
Hold on to your butts.